It's really encouraging that Mike brought up the topic of evangelism. I'm actually going to speak on the Great Commission, so it works out perfectly. And so praise the Lord for that. And so let's just open up with a word of prayer and just ask the Lord just to bless this time and that he would receive all the glory and all the praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just, Lord, reflecting on your amazing love. It's way beyond our comprehension, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that we love you because you first loved us. And we recognize this morning that it's only by the precious name of Jesus that we can be redeemed. It's only by the precious name of Jesus that we can have eternal life. And Lord, we are so humbled, so thankful this morning, Father, that we had that wonderful time of remembering your Son, the Lord Jesus, and what he did for us on the cross, our Savior, our Lord, our God. And so, Father, today, this morning, we're going to look at a passage given by our Savior, a commission. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you would lead this time, Lord, that you would be the one that receives all the glory. Father, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am unworthy of sharing your word, but yet you still choose to use us, Lord, even though we're unworthy. And Lord, thank you for using us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunities to share from your precious word this morning. So Lord, as we hear from your scriptures and as we, Father, we pray that you would be honored and glorified this morning. And we thank you again so much for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, this morning I'm really excited. 7 years, yeah, I've been married 7 years now. It's been amazing 7 years. And thanks, Mr. Risen, for mentioning that this morning. And, you know, I'm so thankful for my wife. I wanted to take some time while I'm up here to say some things about her. She's just an amazing wife. And I failed a lot these 7 years. And she's been so compassionate and so forgiving with me. And praise the Lord for her. And so praise the Lord for all the marriages here and all the couples here. And help us. We pray that we can all shine immensely for Christ. And we know we live in a world where divorce is just creeping up everywhere. And so we pray for us married couples. Keep us in your prayers because that's what's sacred. You know, marriage is such a sacred thing. And that's the thing the enemy wants to attack. So yeah, 7 years and pray that we'll keep going and serving the Lord. And so it's an exciting time. But anyway, enough about us, more about the word this morning. If we could turn to our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And actually, before we read this portion of scripture, I wanted to do something different starting off this time. For one of my English courses, our teacher was challenging us to write anything that we wanted to write that was pretty much any desire that we had. One of the things I've been praying for is just learning how to write better. I'm an English major, so I'm headed that direction, so I should be thinking like that. You know, I was challenged in my classroom thinking of ways that I can write something because we actually read it out loud in class. And, you know, for me, I'm like, oh man, I'm always praying and just asking the Lord for any opportunity to share the gospel, you know? And I said, since you said, we're going to read this out loud in class, everybody's going to read it. So I said, you know what? Let me write this dialogue. And I wrote a dialogue between me and the stalker. All right. It might sound a little weird at first, right? You know, all of us here, we've heard that term stalker, right? Most women experience that a lot more than men. But it's a horrible feeling, right? It's something that we all never want to experience in our lives. But unfortunately, in the United States, the statistics are so huge of how many people are stalked throughout our country, even throughout the world. And so I wrote this dialogue, and as I was preparing for Matthew chapter 28, and I was just sitting home one evening and just reading over the scriptures, and I knew that I had a paper due soon, and I was preparing for this morning. I said, you know what? Let me write something that makes me think of what I'm studying here in scripture. Because when we look at Matthew 28 in the context, we see that Christ has just risen here, right? And we see the Lord coming to the disciples in Galilee. And so I just started typing away. You know, you get inspired and your fingers just start going away. I know Danielle probably gets so used to that, typing and everything like that. Or teachers, anybody that's in the subject area. And I wrote this dialogue and I want to read it all to you. Something different. It's a conversation between me and the stalker. And you'll find out who the stalker is in a minute. I'll see if you can guess who he is. All right, ready? Here we go. It says this. Hi, I want to declare to you who I am. I am famous and very well known. I have been 99.7% successful in all my stalking. I start to creep in and stalk you for the very first moment that you enter into this world. I am there when you take your first step and your last. Sounds kind of creepy, right? I am there for every graduation of yours. I am there when you get your license, and I wait patiently for you to make a mistake. No matter how fast you are, you can never escape. No matter where you live, I won't be far. I love war and all sorts of occasions that will lead to my final attack. I am a master in disguise and have great camouflage skills. No matter how healthy you eat and exercise, I will continue to stalk you. You can have all the operations in the world, but I will continue to pursue you. I am coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. Can anyone guess who the stalker is? Say it louder. I can't hear you. Someone said it. Death. Death. You know, no matter what we do, we can never escape death. It's always knocking at our door. Every single day when you look at the mirror, it's just reminding of you of your day's coming, right? It's something that overwhelms us. People diet and exercise. Actually, my wife and I, we just started a 6-week program. We're doing the same thing Lois did and Emily Saga. And, you know, and we're just so concerned about our health. But no matter what we do in life, this stalker is going to come. And so the question is, are you ready to have a defense against this stalker? And now let me read to you what I wrote back to the stalker. All right? I wrote this. Dear stalker, I want you to know that you are not completely right about the fact that no one else could escape you. I know that you're still stalking me till this day. I was terrified of you for so long. There are also days that I don't even think about you, and there are days that many of us think that we are invincible and that your victory of your final attack won't ever affect us. I know that you think that you won the battle, which is correct in a sense, but I want you to know that you've lost the war. I can't beat you with my own strength, but there's one who can. This one has the keys to Hades and death. He has raised many from the dead. You have absolutely no dominion over him. He is the firstborn from the dead. The prophets declare that his body would never see decay. He did die for a moment, but the grave could not keep him or handle him. Demons are terrified of his name. No sickness could conquer him. He did the impossible. He rose himself from the dead. Dear death, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha, the Omega, my greatest intercessor. O death, you have been swallowed up in victory, and your sting is useless. I am his child, and your stalking is no longer a fear of mine. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I just remember, you know, I remember reading this paragraph in class, and everyone was just like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And then, like, I get to the second paragraph, and I'm just like saying it so loud and so, with so much joy and so much excitement. And, you know, after class, a lot of them start asking those questions, like, wow, so you have all that confidence. I'm like, it's not in me. It's in Christ. I have all my confidence in him. And, you know, I read this morning because there's a reason to it. We worship the one that has all the authority. Amen. He has all authority. When you look at Matthew chapter 28, if we can turn there, Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16, it says this. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountains, which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, not some authority, not just part of the authority. Here Christ says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of age. We worship the one who has all the authority. And that's a great thing. How much comfort that brings our hearts this morning. We know that, you know, when you watch the news, when you're flipping the channels between Fox News and CNN, just complete chaos, complete disorder, so you start to worry, you start to be thinking things are out of control. But brothers and sisters, this morning I want to remind you that we worship the one that has authority. We worship the one that has the complete control of the situation that's going on in our world. He knows what he's doing. And what comfort that brings our hearts this morning, that Christ is in control. He has complete authority. And, you know, the Great Commission is such a wonderful passage. We all love to read it. You're going to Niger. Many are going away to other countries. And sometimes as believers, we tend to think the Great Commission means, oh, going to another country and doing missions somewhere else. But that's not what it means. It means that all believers in all nations, we're all called to be a part of this commission. Amen. We're all called to reach out, to share the gospel to all the lost people out there that are headed to a lost eternity. We're called to do that. But you know, one thing I confess this morning is that sometimes I get so excited about the Great Commission that I forget about the commissioner. Yeah, I want to say that one more time. So many times I get so excited about the Great Commission, yet I forget about the one given the commission, and that is Christ Jesus himself. And there are plenty of times I've looked at this passage, and I've looked over verse 18 where it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, the one that is giving this commission has all the credibility to give in a sense of this. So that's a great thing. And also in the poem that I wrote, and I have a couple of points here just to kind of look at the authority of Christ. Here's a couple of things. I'll say them all to you right now. He has authority over death. He has authority to forgive sins. He has authority to preach. He has authority over judgment. He has authority over all things. He has authority to make children of God. He has authority over Satan and his demons, the weather, healings, and everything. He has authority in heaven. You know, Christ has been giving all authority. And we know that we live in a day and age where many are attacking his authority. We see it all the time. When you look at every single religion out there in society, all of them just want to denounce the authority of Jesus. You know, Mormons believe that he was just a created angel called Gabriel. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he was a created angel called Michael the Archangel. You know, Muslims believe that he was just a prophet. But we as Christians, we believe that he is God. Amen. He is God. And he left his kingdom to come to the sin-cursed earth to die for us. He has all the authority. He is our Savior and our Lord. I was thinking of a passage, I think in the book of Isaiah, where it says that, you know, I will not give my glory to any other. But yet in John chapter 17, the Lord says, you know, Father, glorify your Son. And so we worship the one that has authority. And I think this is a very important thing that we need to be explaining to new believers. And we need to explain to those coming into faith. And also as believers walking in the faith, we need to be reminded of these things as well. And I know some of you might be saying this morning, I've heard this passage so many times over and over again. But I think it's important as believers that we're reminded on a constant daily basis of the authority of Jesus. And, you know, there's so many examples you can look at in Scripture. And I want to start off with an example, and I want to share a small testimony. You know, sometimes on this earth, we're scared of a lot of things. And, we're scared sometimes against the powers of the principality, you know, the enemy, you know, Satan and his demons. But I want to go to Luke. We can turn to Luke chapter 8. And just talk. I can't go through all these, but, we'll just look at some of them. And then I also want to focus a little about, you know, evangelism and also discipleship. So the three points that we're going to look at this morning is just the authority of Jesus, looking at Jesus Christ giving us that commission to go, and also just thinking of that thought of making disciples of all nations. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. And before I make a comment, and just to, you know, as I was thinking of testimonies that reminded me of the authority of Jesus, I thought of this one. And a lot of you know my brother Sergio. I just want to ask you to keep praying for him. He's been really open to the Lord lately, and it's been an exciting time. But I know a lot of you have been praying for him for a long time, and I'm still praying for him, but keep praying for him. But a lot of you know he's a pretty big guy. You know, when we went to Shore Regional, he was like one of the toughest guys at school. I know Mr. and Mrs. Cagnall about that. Yeah, he was a pretty scary guy. A lot of people were scared of him. And, you know, he was kind of kind of like a bully, but a lot of people still liked him, you know. And I still remember one day I was in study hall, and, you know, there was these freshmen getting picked on. And I was a freshman at that time. You know, I remember freshman beatdown day. I don't know if you remember that, Mike or Joe. But they had like a special day at school. They beat down the freshmen. You know how high school is sometimes. And so I was sitting in a chair, and I wasn't a believer at this time. And all these freshmen were getting beat up by another guy. And I was laughing. You know, I didn't know the Lord at this time. And there was a guy that was like, why is this guy not getting picked on? Like, I see all these other freshmen getting picked on, but he's not getting picked on. And one of the guys was asking, he goes, that's Sergio's brother. Like, nobody bothers Sergio's little brother. You know, like so my brother was this big guy, you know, just, you know, so feared. Like in Frank and Tony's high school, middle school, like he was like the big bully and everybody was just scared of him. So when I got a freshman year, like nobody bothered me. It was great. It was a great benefit to have. And looking at this passage here in Luke chapter 8, and I'll read it to you in a minute, and you understand the context of why I'm sharing this with you this morning. That big guy that I thought would never be scared of anything, one evening called me, you know, just maybe six, seven years ago when I was here in New Jersey, before I left to Venezuela. And he called me, and he, in the middle of the night, it was 2-3 in the morning, and I'm getting this call from my brother. And he picks up, I pick up the phone, I'm like, hello? He's like, Diego, it's Sergio. Never heard my brother like scared like this before. And I'm saying to myself, Serge, what's wrong? Why are you scared? Like, what's going on, bro? Everything okay? I thought you got in a car accident. He's like, no, Diego, I was on the phone and I heard something. And I said to him, what did you hear? He goes, I was on the phone with a friend and I heard this noise and this voice in the background saying, I'm going to kill you. And just to share a little background on my brother, he's opened a lot of doors for the enemy. He's lived a life and drugs, drinking, all sorts of things. And it's been very tough for our family, but we keep praying for him. We love him so much. But he kept telling me, he's like, yeah, I heard this voice. And I kept telling him, I said, Sergio, you're hearing things. This can't be possible. He's like, yeah, Diego, I heard something. And he's like, I didn't hear it just once. I heard it twice. And he was terrified. He was completely scared. I never seen my brother so shaken up before. And like I said, this is a big guy that everybody in school was afraid of, that, you know, I was just, you know, I had those benefits of not getting picked on because of him. I just said to him, I said, Serge, I'll come pick you up. Like, I'll go pick you up. He was living somewhere else at the time. So I got in my car 2-3 in the morning. I still remember as if it was yesterday. I had a Pontiac Grand Am GT 97. I started in my car and I got in my car and, just driving over there. I just started praying. I was like, Lord, if this is an opportunity to share the gospel with my brother, oh, please, Lord, just give me the words, like, show me what you want me to say. So I wanted to pick up my brother. We went home, and, you know, we were just talking on the way home, and I've shared the gospel with him so many times. He knows it, you know, and I just try to take it easy with him sometimes when I'm with him. And we just got home, and I made a couch for him. I think I slept on the floor. He did, I can't remember. But, one of the things my brother said to me, he goes, Diego, can you read scripture to me? And I was like, of course, of course, Serge, of course I can read scripture to you. And it was such a joy for me, you know, just to be able to hear my brother say those words. And I opened up to Luke chapter 8. And I guess I didn't know what to open at that time. I was like, what do I read? Like, I wasn't prepared. Like, I wasn't ready to pick out a passage to read to my brother. So I opened up to Luke chapter 8, and I read this to my brother. 3 o'clock in the morning, and I read this to him. So let's read that together. Luke chapter 8. Then they sailed to the county of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he stepped out onto the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For I had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man, and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what happened and came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had not been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man whom the demon had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaim throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done. Also, if we can go to Luke chapter 4, just a couple of pages back. Speaking of the authority of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Then when he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath, and there were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with what? Authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, he came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." So I remember that night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, just reading these verses to my brother. And I just remember him looking over me and goes, "Diego, I can go to sleep now. Like, I'm calm. Thanks so much, bro." And he went to bed. He slept like a baby. And then I heard him snore for the rest of the night, you know. But Christ has authority over everything. You know, we have no reason to fear. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, Christ has complete authority. And it's amazing, you know, in the Gospel of Luke and in the Gospel, we see just the authority that Christ had. He would just speak, you know, and the weather would just go away. And if we can even turn there too, let's turn there as we're here this morning. Let's go to Luke. Let me see where it is. I just had it. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Just, you know, Christ had authority over demonic powers. He has authority over satanic powers. You know, he has the authority to preach. You know, when he was a young boy, you know, he preached with authority. And, you know, also in Luke chapter 8, speaks of his authority over everything here on earth. Now, it says in verse 22, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of a lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And then they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him.'" This is the one that has given the great commission to the disciples. The one who has authority over the winds and the waves. The one who has authority over all satanic, demonic powers. The one who is completely sovereign, who's completely in control of every situation that we're going through. I was talking to Mike Haynes these last couple of weeks. I know a lot of you know that we were doing outreaches in Red Bank. And, you know, we would do it on Wednesdays. And on Mondays, you know, I would check my weather app. And then you see the weather. It's like 40% chance of rain. Or like you go and, you know, you have the apps where it tells you what percentages it might have of rain throughout every hour of the day. So you can kind of know what's going to happen each hour. And Mike and I were looking at it for the past couple of weeks. And every single Wednesday, it was like this high chance of rain. And I just remember Mike just looking at me and goes, "Diego, let's pray. Like, you know, I believe that God can calm the rain down. And like, let's pray." We just kept praying throughout all those weeks that they wouldn't rain on Wednesday during 6:45 and 8:30, you know. And you know, I have to confess, I'm like these disciples. Sometimes I don't have faith in God, that God can do certain things. And I failed in that area. And I was just so encouraged by Mike's faith, just really like, "Diego, I know he can do it." Like, and so we just kept praying. And for the last two Wednesdays, it did not rain. And even this, the outreach was yesterday. Saturday. And the same thing, the app said it was going to rain. And I remember calling Mike and we're like, "Oh man," he's like, "Diego, it's going to rain, but let's keep praying. The Lord's been doing like the last two Wednesdays, it hasn't rained. Like, let's pray." And we prayed for it. And it was like steaming hot that yesterday. I don't know. I was like sweating up a storm yesterday at the outreach. It was just, it didn't rain at all. And it was such a great time. You know, but sometimes, you know, we have a tendency of not having faith in what God can do. And just another quick story. I have a friend, and he called me one day just overwhelmed. He was at Brookdale one day, and it was raining. And he just looked up and said, "Lord, please just clear the clouds." And it cleared. I don't know if that's ever happened to some of you before. But it's just, you know, God can do anything. But you know what? The thing is, we live in a culture today where we just have easy access to everything. And it causes us sometimes not to have faith in what God can do. You know, I hear stories around the world of just Lord doing amazing things, just amazing things around the world. And it's just an amazing thing. But I think one of the struggles we have here in this country is that we have a struggle with faith. And even talking about that, even going to the Great Commission, and I'll share one more thing about authority. Christ had authority to preach, and let's go to Matthew 7, verse 28. So he had authority. What do you have authority over so far? He has authority. What have we talked about so far? Real quiet. It's all right. He has authority over demonic powers, satanic powers. He has authority over the weather, the winds, you know, all those kind of things. He has authority to preach. You know, Christ didn't ask the Pharisees permission to say certain things, right? He didn't go to the Pharisees, oh, can I say this here? No, he has authority. You know, everything that he said, it's that's truth. And he preached that. He didn't have any fear in that. And we know we see the Lord. And we see here a response. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 and 29. It says, and so it was when Jesus had ended this saying that the people were astonished at his teaching. And for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. We all know that. I think I was doing a little research on the scribes and how they gave certain messages in their temples. And a lot of them had to ask permission to say things, you know. But Christ, he spoke with authority. You know, he's God, you know, right there. And that's a great thing. So Christ has authority to preach. And a couple other things, he has authority over judgment. You know, Christ is going to bring judgment forth on a judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge believers and non-believers. And I know in our Bible study we were talking about that. I don't know if you remember, Joe, but we were talking about how do believers have the right to judge. And I still remember when the last time Alan Shelley spoke here, and you know, I was still up in the air, like we were talking about that in the study. We were kind of confused about that. But I still remember when Alan Shelley, like, the Lord Jesus is the only one who judges. I just remember it's like, oh. And he pointed out to the passage, John chapter 5, verses 22, where Jesus is the perfect judge. Praise God that he's the judge, right? It's not us. You know, he's the one who has the authority to judge. And in John chapter 5, verse 22, for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but it says that, you know, he's received, God, the Father's given him the authority and the right to bring judgment. So he has authority to make children of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. He has authority in heaven, as is mentioned in Matthew. He has the authority to forgive sins. And he has authority over death. You know, death could not hold him. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says that he has the keys of Hades, of death in Hades. Death had no dominion over him. He abolished death. And so that's a great thing. And so before looking at the Great Commission, I really encourage you to look at the commissioner, the one that's given that Great Commission, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's a thing. That's a great thing that we can remind ourselves daily. Now, the next part of the verse, go back to Matthew 28. Christ says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, oh man, this is the part I know when many of us kind of get nervous, you know, when it comes to sharing the gospel. I want to confess something to you. I've been praying for Fifth Avenue for so many years. And not just Fifth Avenue, for all assemblies. I really think this is an area that we really struggle in. Evangelism. You know, sometimes we can get so comfortable in these four corners. Or maybe 10 corners, I don't know. But we get so comfortable being in our churches, being in our Christian bubbles. And yet we forget the calling that Christ has given us to go share the gospel. You know, we just read that passage about, you know, that man being healed, legion, right? And one of the verses says that he continually spoke of what Christ did for him. Like, I can't even imagine like that. Like, he probably told everybody for the rest of his life what Christ did for him, how Christ healed him, how Christ delivered him. You know, in that same sense, when I was reading that passage, it really convicted me. Like, am I continually telling people about what Christ did for me on the cross? And, you know, and that is a huge, huge importance in a Christian life. Here the Lord Jesus says, go, go. It's a verb that Christ is using here in this passage. Go and make disciples of all nations. And one thing here that I was thinking about is that Christ didn't say, go and make converts of all nations. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. People come into Christ and growing in their faith. Christ has the authority to say that. Why? Because he lived the perfect life of evangelism, right? Christ lived the perfect life of evangelism. One of the things, you know, in our culture today, we struggle to spend time doing certain things, right? Like sometimes I'll ask certain brothers, like, hey, you want to get together? Like, oh, I got to look at my calendar. You know, I got to look in advance if I have that time to squeeze you in. You know, we live in that kind of culture. And I confess that I struggle with that as well. You know, before going to Venezuela, you know, Lisbeth, she noticed a lot of things about me that were, you know, I was still very ingrained in our culture here. But I remember in Venezuela, that's one thing they don't struggle with. And people just love to spend time with each other. You know, people love to spend time with others. They like to give of their time. And I think we have a tendency to be so scheduled in what we do. And sometimes that could be a bad thing. It is a good thing, but sometimes it could be a bad thing. And even in my marriage, I'm married to a Venezuelan, you know, and we have a difference in culture. And I've learned a lot. I'll tell you that. You're going to Niger, and, you know, you're going to learn a lot of things about that culture, you know. And, you know, every culture has its good things, and every culture has its bad things. But I know, like, I always pray, Lord, help me to find out the bad things about my culture, and that I can seek those things that please you and not seek what my culture tries to tell me. And that's a very easy thing to do. And so time is a struggle. It really is. And, you know, sometimes we miss out on such great opportunities because we are so invested in me time and our time. And just to share a testimony of that and just to be, and like I said, I've failed in this area myself. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone here this morning. I'm pretty much pointing the finger to myself because I struggle with this so much. I remember one day, Mike was calling me, Mike Haynes, on the phone. And I know a lot of you know about his uncle that passed away not too long ago. And he called me, and I was really busy that day. Like, I just had so much stuff going on. I was pretty stressed out. It was just chaos that day. And I just remember Mike calling me, and I think I was preparing for this too. And, you know, it's amazing. When you're preparing for something, like, man, you gotta live it out too. You know, it's a huge responsibility being up here and sharing this. And, Mike was like, Diego, you know, just really down. He's like, Diego, I text so many people and I called a lot of people. I really want somebody to come and, spend time with my uncle. And, I'll confess to you this morning, like, in my heart, like, a list of things started coming up that, like, just made me think that I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't be there. Like, I was like, wait, I gotta do this. And I gotta go do that. And I was just, I can't do it. Like, in my mind, I was battling, like, to tell Mike, no, like, I can't come, Mike. I'm really sorry. But praise be to God, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts us. And, you know, and I was reading these passages and thinking about our culture. And I was like, wow, man, I need to go. And, I remember looking at Lisbeth and, I wanted to give her a break from the kids. And I was like, you know what, Liz? And I was trying to think, like, how can I do this? Like, to make things easier for Lisbeth, but also be there with Mike. I was like, what can I do? And I just said to him, you know, let me take the kids with me. And I called Mike and I said, Mike, you know, I'm going to come, but can you watch the kids while I go up and talk to your uncle? He's like, yeah, I'll do that, Diego. That's not a problem. I'll watch all of them. That's great. You know, and so, you know, I got in the car, got the kids and gave the wife a break. And, so it was like, you know, I was killing two birds with one stone, you know, and I was able to just on the drive to the hospital, just praying for Mike's uncle and, just getting there. And, you know, Mike was so excited and I put on a DVD for the kids in the van and I went up there and I was just like, what am I going to say? Like, this is one of the first times that I talked to somebody that was close to death, because they said that pretty much Mike's uncle only had a couple of days left to live. And I'm just like, man, like, what do I say? And I had no idea what to say. And I just kept praying, like, Lord, just show me what you want me to say. And remember just getting up there and meeting Mike's uncle. And I met him before, and he looked so different. It was a tough time. And I just remember getting down with him, my Bible, and I just remember just talking to him, and the Lord just completely took over the conversation. And, you know, I was able to share the gospel with him, and he said he wanted to receive Christ, and he did receive Christ that day. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and of course we had a lot of conversations after that. And then I remember leaving that day, and I said, man, I could have lost this opportunity. Like, if I would have allowed my flesh to take control of my Christian life and say no to Mike, like, I could have missed out on this opportunity to share the gospel with Mike's uncle. And yes, he did pass away. It was like at least another week or two later, he did pass away. But, you know, I had so much comfort knowing that he heard the gospel. And, you know, Mike, he was there every day with him, and he was sharing the gospel with him every day as well. So, he was faithfully sharing the gospel. But it was such a blessing. And, you know, there's so many opportunities out there that God can use, but sometimes we have a tendency to ignore it. And I've done that in my Christian life. I've ignored that. And, you know, Christ, man, always spend time with people. He was always with others. He didn't stay in the church. Like, he didn't just, you know, he didn't stay out in church in one place. He was moving around all the time, ministering to people, sharing the gospel, being active, going out. And, you know, he lived the perfect life of evangelism. You know, Christ lived the perfect life in every sense, but he also lived the perfect life of evangelism. Just showed perfect compassion. You know, he spent time with sinners. You know, he healed the blind. He was always healing somebody. He always spoke the truth. He was preaching the gospel faithfully. No sugarcoating. And so Christ says, go. And when you hear that word go, you know, sometimes we think, oh, go somewhere else. Go to another country. No. Christ has called us to go in our neighborhoods, to go in our communities, to go in our workplace, and all these kind of things. I can't share the gospel, you know, at Monmouth Medical Center like Joey can. But Joey has that opportunity to share the gospel. I can't share the gospel to engineers like Todd can, because he's there. He has that opportunity to share the gospel, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, God has placed us in all our areas of life for a reason and for a purpose. And I just pray and encourage all of you to take advantage of every opportunity to share your faith. You never know what God can do. And sometimes we're afraid. And I wrote here a list of things that sometimes stop us from sharing the gospel. And I wrote a couple of them. And these are things that I struggle with. And I know a lot of you know that I love sharing my faith, but I'm terrified still. Before I go share the gospel, I go out in the community, I'm still terrified. Like, I'm still scared. Like, people are like, oh, Diego, he loves sharing the gospel. No, I mean, I'm scared too. And there's times that I've just wanted to run one the other direction as well. And, but you know, there's a couple of reasons I wrote here, you know, that sometimes I'm afraid I won't have all the answers. I know sometimes we think that. There's nothing wrong with not having the answer when you're sharing your faith, and you're not going to have all the answers. I've talked to plenty of atheists, and they've brought a lot of challenges to me that I could not address. And all I said to them is, you know what, let me get back to you on that. Let me get back to you on that. I don't have the answer. I'm not God. God knows all the answers. I'm learning every single day. We don't have all the answers. That's fine. I still remember when I was with Camps Crusade, and one of the first time I was sharing my faith in Washington, D.C., and I met a homeless man. And, you know, one of the friends is like, show me somewhere in the Bible where it says hell. And I was still a baby in Christ, and I couldn't find it. And I just remember going home feeling so defeated and so discouraged, you know, and I was like, man, I can't believe I couldn't find a verse about hell in the Bible. Like, what's wrong with me? And instead of feeling defeated, instead of giving up and saying, you know what, that's not my calling, that's not what I'm going to do, you know, I went home and I just started studying the scriptures, and I started, oh, here it is. And I was like, now I'm going to be ready for next time. You know, it's okay not to have all the answers. Same thing with my mother-in-law, she's a whole witness. The first time she came to visit us, she really tore me apart. You know, she was just so ready for every single answer to give and every single thing. And I just felt, you know, saddened by that. But you know what? It was an encouragement for me to like go. I just remember spending hours and hours and hours just studying the Jehovah's Witness faith and just, you know, looking at scripture. And man, the next time we talked, it was just a blessing. You know, and so there's nothing wrong with not having the right answer to give. And, you know, sometimes we fear rejection, but we have to remember that it's the Lord that rejected, not us. Sometimes we give up because there's no results. You know, yesterday at the outreach, you know, we for 3 weeks, we went out inviting people, and pretty much the whole time nobody came. And I was, you know, and I just kept praying. I was like, Lord, you know, that's okay. Nobody came. And then out of nowhere, this young couple, Latino couple come up. And you know, and then one of the guys who cuts the grass came later, and you know, even, and we were just so excited, even if it's three. But sometimes we're afraid to see results. I mean, sometimes we allow results to stop us from sharing our faith, and we can't allow that. You know, we need to continue to share the gospel for obedience sake. And you know, you don't have to have the gift of evangelism to share your faith. A lot of individuals think that as well. I still remember I went to assembly, another place to help with an evangelism project, and I encourage someone to come and share. They go, I don't have that gift, brother. That's not my gift. That's not my calling. And I was like, you know, Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. You know, could you imagine everybody here at Fifth Avenue said, you know what? I don't have the gift of giving. So nobody here is going to give at Fifth Avenue. How would that work out? If someone said, you know, I don't have the gift of teaching, so I'm not going to teach. Or I don't have the gift of encouragement. Could you imagine an assembly that doesn't encourage each other? Like, we're not, we all say, I don't have that gift, so I'm not going to encourage my brother, sister in Christ. We're all called to practice all the gifts. But yes, the Lord has given certain individuals, you know, those specific gifts to encourage other believers to also do those gifts. I've heard, you know, I'm not the best administrator, but when I see other believers practicing their gift of administration, I'm just like, man, they're so cool. Like, I just want, I want to learn from them. You know, I'm not the best administrator. Praise the Lord for a diversity of believers. I still remember we were planning for the outreach on Memorial Day weekend. And like I said, I got there. I was so lost, but I was so happy to have a couple of the women there, and they just kind of took over, and they were planning everything, and everything came together. And it was so beautiful seeing the body of Christ just work together. And it was just amazing. Like, I was seeing all these spiritual gifts of all these individuals, and just like, it worked out so well. If we all had the gift of evangelism and going out, and I mean, that wouldn't have been good. You know, I'm not a good administrator. And praise be to God that there were people there that had that ability to really bring those things together. And so we all, you know, we're not all called to have the spiritual gift of evangelism, but we're all called to share our faith. We're not all called to teach the word of God from the pulpit, but we're all called to teach our children, teach those about the scriptures. Those, you know, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. We're all called to teach those that are younger in the faith. The scriptures are very clear. It says older women teach the younger women, older men teach the younger men. We're all supposed to teach, but not all of us have that gift of teaching. You know, sometimes I'll see individuals like Ravi Zacharias or John Lennox, and I know I'm never going to be one of them, and that's fine. And that's completely fine. The Lord is using them in that way, and that's a great thing. And we rejoice in seeing others being used for the glory of Christ, and that's an exciting thing. And so praise be to God for that. So let's read that passage again, Matthew 28. I'm running over a little bit. 28. And Jesus came and spoke to him, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, not converts, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. So my challenge to you this morning, may we never forget the authority of Jesus. We worship the one who has all authority. May we never forget the calling of going. And may we never forget the calling that he's given us to not make converts of all nations, but to make disciples of all nations. So praise be to God and for the mission field that Christ has given us. Pray for your mission field, because we all have a mission field. We all have the area of sharing the gospel to those that are lost. And, you know, if you knew a building was burning and you knew the exit and you didn't tell somebody, how horrible would you feel? In the same sense, people in their sin are in a building of fire, and we know the way out. And Jesus said, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way out, and we have that way out. We can tell others of having redemption and salvation through the name of Jesus. So praise be to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful passage, Lord, that reminds us of how important it is for us as believers to be practicing and telling others about you and what you did for us on the cross. And Lord, we're so thankful for that opportunity. It's such an honor, Lord, and to be able to share our faith. And Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would just give us more opportunities at our jobs, that you would give us more opportunities at our families. You would give us more opportunities, Father, in the workplace and in any kind of situation, our neighborhoods, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to be faithful. And to give the good news of salvation to others, to share about how you saved us, Lord. And Lord God, we're just so thankful again for this morning and just for this time that we have to be in your word. And we thank you again for all that you've done for us at the cross of Calvary. We love you so much. And in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.